Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair and Todd Alba coming to you live from Richland Center. Greg Bach and Sweet Kelby coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. It's On the Road with Jane and Todd. Our second stop, we were in Madison yesterday. Today, the RC. Tomorrow, Eau Claire. Friday, we will be in Amory. We are going to kick off. This hour is our Scotty Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest. Pretty great. Every hour that we play at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 p.m. Every hour that we play, someone wins a Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Pack. Every day, one person picks up a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level seats. And then everybody who enters, whether you win a daily or an hourly prize or not, everybody who enters is in the running for one of two grand prizes, and you get to pick where you want to have your staycation. Fort Atkinson, cottage on the lake with a pontoon boat. Go with the pontoon. Lake Geneva at Harbor Shores. Lake Geneva is also lovely. Yes. And Door County, of course, at the Ridges Inn and Suites. So those are the grand prize choices, and we're even going to give you the gas to get there and back.
How about that?
Isn't that nice? We're just not just one way, the whole round trip. So here is the word you need to text via the Civic Media app until noon. The word is north. N-O-R-T-H. The word is north. Text that word north right now via the Civic Media app, and you are entered in our Scotty Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest. Todd and I have a little friendly competition going on as to who gets the most entries. Loser has to buy a steak dinner at a supper club in Amory when this all wraps up on Friday. Greg Bach.
Yes.
How does one get an extra entry?
Well, I'm glad
one is interested in doing such a thing.
Jane, I'm so happy you said that. Folks, the texts are rolling in right now. And if you are listening to the show and you are texting, you are going to get a message from Civic Media asking you a very simple question. That question is, are you registered to vote? You answer that question. It can be yes or no. Be truthful. There's no wrong or right answer. Just answer the question truthfully, and you will get an automatic second entry into the contest. So that means twice an hour you can enter, which means seven times a day, times two, 14 entries a day, you can enter into this contest. So just remember, answer the question, come back to you, get a second entry for free, enjoy. The word is north.
Look how well he did that math.
Perfect.
He mathed so, it was perfect mathing.
I can't do math on the radio.
That's why we do what we do.
Exactly.
All right, the word is north, N-O-R-T-H. Good luck, everybody. Delighted to have a surprise guest joining us. Beth Pistel is with Economic Equity Now, which is affiliated with the Patriotic Millionaires. Good morning, Beth. Thank you so much for coming down to Cross Cup Park here in Richland Center.
Oh, absolutely. I hopped in the car this morning to come down here and meet you, and on the way down, I heard you talking to the Patriotic Millionaires, and so I just hit the grass a little harder to get here, because I thought, I want you to understand what the grassroots aspect of the Patriotic Millionaires is also doing. And that's what Economic Equity Now is. Last summer, the Patriotic Millionaires came into town, and they had sent out a bunch of postcards around the county and said, come for a free meal and hear about taxes and the economy. And we had about 70, 80 people that showed up.
That's a good turnout.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And they gave about five or six different presentations over the summer, one a month, on taxing the tax code and how the tax code is set so millionaires don't have to pay much, but we do, and talking about the economy and talking about living wage and how that needs to change. So by the end of the summer, they said, okay, go to work.
You're on your own now.
Yeah, we were, and that didn't work out really well. We're we're reorganizing, but the issue is with the Great Economy Project, which is the grassroots portion of the Patriotic Millionaires. The idea is we need to talk to, you know, the folks on the street. We need to talk to the workers. We need to get people to understand and realize just how the economy works, how the tax code works, and how things need to change if we want our communities to thrive. And that's what we're working on here, trying to find as many different ways as we can to get the message out to people to recognize we can all have nice things.
Yes. Having it a little more fair doesn't mean taking a nice thing away from this person to give to this person. That's not what this is about.
Not at all. What it means is that if everybody pays their fair share, there's enough so that the government can do what the government was always designed to do, and that is to take care of the least of these, to make sure that all public and common things are maintained, to make sure that we got public schools that are funded and things like that. So we're trying to make sure that we get the message out that if we can convince our representatives to reform the tax code so that everyone is paying a fair share, there's going to be money to do the things that we need for our communities to thrive. And we're not going to have
referendums.
Referendums, my gosh, you know, and people having to, you know, you're paying your income taxes, and now you're having to pay property taxes on top of that to fund our schools. And it's wrong. You know, the whole business of funding schools through property taxes started back in the days when it really shouldn't have, after Reconstruction, Jim Crow days. And that whole system needs to be fixed. There's no excuse for tapping into the communities twice to pay for a school. And for that matter, why should we pay for more than one school system?
Which we are essentially doing now.
Yes,
with the charter school and the voucher school system. We are paying for two school systems.
Yeah.
And it's my understanding that a vast majority of the children who are going to these private schools now via these vouchers were already attending those schools.
That's the research that I have seen, that it's the folks who have the money to send their kids to private schools who have been doing it for a very long time, and now they realize they can tap into the public funds to do it instead.
Yep. Yep.
What are our representatives thinking?
Well, they knew
in setting up things like that.
But they know who's donating to their campaigns.
And that's probably another thing that folks on the street need to think more carefully about. Who are our representatives really representing? Are they representing the workers? Are they representing our communities? Are they interested in our communities thriving? Or are they interested in serving their donors?
Bev,
and those are questions that we just seriously need to ask.
Yep. Bev, I know the Patriotic Millionaires Wisconsin and the Richland Center was the first place in Wisconsin they did one of these public kind of educational things. I was impressed because on the first night I was here, Jane, and they came in and they said, if you're here to talk about abortion, gay rights, gay marriage, or guns, this ain't for you.
Go away.
Because we're talking about money.
Yep.
And I thought that was really impressive. Take away all the really divisive things, and let's talk about the commonality is, I think everybody wants more money in their paycheck to spend a little bit. But Bev, talk about what you folks, now that Patriotic Millionaires have kind of left, what did they do locally, and what are you doing locally?
Well, they gave us the education that we needed to a cohort of people. And then they gave us a budget so that we could go out and try to have activities in the community and get out and reach the community. We have been, I'll admit, we've been struggling and figuring out how to get that done. In our area, we're so small. The folks who are the givers, the ones who are the volunteers, the ones who are just truly concerned about our community and giving back, they're tapped out.
Yeah.
And so the issue is we need to reach more people, and that's one of the things that we are doing now. One of the things that we realized was the first cohort they started was in Whiteville, North Carolina, and they are going to towns of about 5,000. But Whiteville is a town of 5,000 in a county of 50,000.
Oh.
Okay.
Sure.
And so they had a much, much larger group of a population to draw from. And so what we are doing now is we are expanding and trying to develop collaborations with different groups in Iowa County and Sauk County. Those are counties that we think are close enough to us and we can collaborate with, and so that we can draw on a larger group of folks to help us get the message out.
And you're hosting candidate forums for things like mayor and Richland Center, but also third district, yes. Congressional race.
Yes, we did the mayor race, and that was decently attended, and we've had the three Democratic candidates for the third CD, Rebecca Cook and Katrina Shankland and Eric Wilson. They all came, were glad to come talk to us. We have issued invitations to Derek Van Orden. We've contacted him probably four or five times.
Oh, I'm sure.
Inviting him to come.
DVO just hasn't. The message got lost. It was a carrier pigeon. It never landed. I'm sure he'd be happy to come and talk to you.
That's what we're assuming. And we're still open. You know, we're still meeting. We're still around. You know, the election until in November, Derek, so come talk to us. Folks would love to hear from you, and they'd have some questions for you, too.
The great point is that your organization here locally has both Republicans and Democrats on it. It's a bipartisan group trying to actually find solutions,
right,
which I think is really impressive. We need more of that, you know?
Absolutely. That's kind of what civic media is all about, is talking about difficult things, but there are things we can come to some agreement on. And again, not everybody gets everything they want.
Right.
That's not the way it works.
And you look, walk the streets of Richland Center, and there's no doubt in your mind, these are folks who want the community to thrive. They want funded schools. They want good roads. They want good broadband. They want to be able to have a place where there's affordable housing and jobs, so that our young people can stay and our community can grow. We all want those things,
yes.
And it's simply a matter of beginning to understand what has to happen on a political level to make that possible.
Matt Pestel is our guest. We're going to keep this conversation going if you can stay for another segment.
Oh, sure.
That would be great. Bev Pestel is with Economic Equity Now. They are affiliated with the Patriotic Millionaires, the Great Economy Project, on the road with Jane and Todd, live from Richland Center. If you are in the area, stop out and see us. We're at Crust Cup Park, and we're going to be here until 2 o'clock today. It's a great setup.
The
coffee is ready.
And it's good.
And it's the cutest coffee pot you've ever seen in your entire life. You should come out just to see that. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning, and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Todd Alba coming to you live from beautiful downtown Richland Center. We're at Crust Cup Park until 2 o'clock today. Greg Bach and the Calvinator are back in Waukesha, running everything just fine. We're just working on a little visual problem, but audio is still coming through. We have our guest, Beverly Pestel, stopped down here in the park. She is with Economic Equity Now, and they are affiliated with the Patriotic Millionaires. Beverly, we were talking about some of the meetings that you've had in Richland Center over the last few months, and I'm really curious, what do folks say when they're talking about this, and you're talking about more economic equity? Is there a lot of pushback? Is it, well, you know, I'm doing really well. Why should I help anybody else? Well, I'm just curious what the reaction has been on the ground from local residents.
I'm not sensing any pushback at all. Probably our biggest issue is when you start talking about the economy, I was just talking to Dorothy a little while ago. When you talk about the economy, she was saying, you know, people's eyes glaze over. And so our biggest struggle is trying to figure out how do we get a message out that gets people to recognize just what is the economy, and does it have anything to do with the price of gas and groceries?
Right.
Is the message that we have actually the one that influences where you live and what can make your life better, easier?
But I think, too, what we were talking about before the brief break, if the ultra-wealthy were taxed at a fairer rate, this would affect all of our lives because there would be more money available to fund things like public schools and clean water and just so many things that are all for the public good. And I know the patriotic millionaires don't like to necessarily talk about where, if we get these savings, if these guys start having to pay more, they don't like to pick where it would go. But that is what they're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. And it makes sense that it's not the patriotic millionaire's job to say where these resources should go. It should be up to the local communities to say, this is where we need
the money.
It should be, you know, this we need the money to support our schools. We need fully funded schools, for goodness sakes.
Todd took me around the UW-Richland Center campus yesterday. It is just heartbreaking. It's just heartbreaking to see that beautiful campus and the dorms right across the street, and what a wonderful place that must have been to go to school, and to see what's happening just to our UW system overall.
Yes, I think it was on your program I was listening yesterday. You were mentioning something about the Driftless area.
Yes.
And if when you came to Richland Center, it'd be nice to have someone to explain just what is the Driftless Center. And I thought, oh, no, because I think I just saw on Facebook the other day the one person that probably, the local person that could do that the best, because UW Richland is closed, I think she's already left town. Wow. I think she's already moved.
Wow.
I thought, how
what
sad
a shame.
Is that?
Yeah.
How sad is that? It's just the opportunities that have been lost, the expertise that has been lost, and
not to mention the benefits of the local economy.
Oh, my goodness.
How much did the school bring in?
Last report I saw, a review, is about a $6 to $8 million impact a year, depending upon the year, to the Richland County, greater Richland County area. By the time you focus on the money that brings in when students stay here, when the parents come visit here, the restaurants, the hotels, the conferences, the athletics, has a huge economic impact.
That's a lot of money for a community this size. Yeah.
It really is, and it's such an unfortunate situation. And when you look through the history of it, it didn't have to happen. Mm. It never had to happen. And it comes back to the fact that it is tuning people into the idea of, are the people that we've been electing, that we've been voting for, have they been working for us? Have they been out there to serve us? And if they had, they'd have made sure UW Richland was being funded.
Yeah.
The UW system was being funded. And instead, they've been cutting funds for decades.
Yep.
I think that's a really great point, Bev. And I think it's really important because as we talked last night at dinner, Jane, and you were there, Bev, and when we had our local elected officials, Howard Markline, who chairs the Joint Finance Committee, who represents this area, Republican, there was a packed room, whatever it was, 100, 150 people. And after an hour and a half, he had the audacity to stand there, look people in the eye and say, well, there's no money. No money. There's no money. And it's a lie because there's $4 billion sitting in Madison. But to Bev's point, if we were electing people who were looking at a fair tax system, saying, you know what, if you're worth $1 billion, maybe you should just pay your share. We're not even asking to turn it up. Just pay your share. We already have enough money. We could have saved the campus here.
Mm-hmm.
But if everyone were paying their fair share, millionaires and billionaires, we wouldn't have this issue.
No, our representatives wouldn't be able to look at us and say, oh,
right,
there's no money.
Right.
And that's the excuse that they use. Even though, like you said, in this budget year, there was a surplus, and they refused to spend it. What I saw just a couple of days ago is that I think it's Governor Evers is asking for $800 million for UW system for the next budget. And so I'm thinking, okay, what are they going to do this time? You know, what are they going to try to take out of that this time? And it never should happen.
Yeah.
Well, and as you said too, Bev, you know, as far as property or of school funding coming from property taxes, and that has been around for decades and decades and decades. And it's, you know, people say, well, it's always been this way. You know, it's tradition. Well, foot binding was a tradition. That was kind of a good tradition to get rid of. If you're just going to pick one out of the sky, we've always done it this way.
Yeah.
Well, let's not do it that way anymore.
Yeah. We have people. Somebody just stopped by our studios here, our remote studios. Paul Murphy, the great Paul Murphy, his wonderful wife Louise. They were institutions for years in a theater company here, the local theater.
Lovely.
And the arts and the opportunities that were given through people like Paul and Louise and the campus and Jim Agard and Gene Burkett. You brought arts to Southwest Wisconsin. That is gone because of what these cuts to the campus.
It's a tragedy. We're going to keep talking about it, get the word out, and hopefully get more people coming to your meetings. Bev Pistel with Economic Equity Now, affiliated with Patriotic Millionaires. Thank you so very much for stopping by.
Oh, thank you.
We have news coming up next. By the way, the word is north. N-O-R-T-H.
No, N-O-R-T, north.
N-O-R-T-H.
Knock it off, Todd.
Cut off his microphone. Now he's trying to undermine me live. The Scotty statewide text to win contest is going on this hour. You have until noon. Text the word north, N-O-R-T-H, and you can win some wonderful, wonderful prizes. News is next. And then when we return, a public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Todd Alba coming to you live from Richland Center. We're on the road with Jane and Todd. Today we're in Richland Center. Tomorrow we will be in Eau Claire. And on Friday we wrap things up in Amory. So if you are able, we've had some people stop by today and chat with us and just stop in. So if you are going to be in Eau Claire tomorrow, actually we're going to be out here until 2 o'clock today, Crosscup Park here in Richland Center. So stop by if you can and then come and see us tomorrow in Eau Claire and then Friday in Amory. Looking forward to meeting you. I also want to remind everybody, our Scotty Summer statewide text to win contest continues. The word this hour, you have until noon. Text it via the Civic Media app. The word is north, N-O-R-T-H. The word is north. Every hour that we play, somebody picks up a great Wisconsin Dells summer prize pack. Every day, one winner with a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level seats. And then whether or not you win an hourly or daily prize, everyone will be entered to have one of two grand prizes. Really nice staycation, and you get to pick where you want to go, Fort Atkinson, Lake Geneva, or Door County, and we even give you gas to get there and back. So text the word NORTH, N-O-R-T-H. Todd and I have a little friendly wager going on. Whoever gets the most entries is the winner. Loser has to buy steak dinner at a supper club in Amory on Friday night. We are joined every week at this time. It's our public service announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. Good morning, Dr. Hanks. How are you doing?
Good morning. Doing well. How are you guys doing?
We are good. What's going on in the Hanks household this week? Because we're going to have to do this now. We have to do a check on this now every week to find out what new disease your children have.
Well, they're doing okay. I've got a little bit of a cold. I woke up with like the scratchy throat and whatever.
Even doctors get the dreck, right?
Yeah. I've been wearing my mask today to see patients just to, to try to keep some of the disease spreading down, but here we are. But otherwise, we're doing good.
Good. I'm glad that no foot and mouth disease, no lice, no black plague has showed up. So we're
no rubella.
We're good to go. No rubella. Right. Exactly.
Well, good. You were sick. Are you doing okay? You were kind of taking it on.
I'm feeling good. I'm coughing everything that my body has ever had in it up now. It's just like the last bit of it. But I'm feeling good, so that's wonderful.
Great.
All right. We're going to talk about the Senate this week brought up a vote on the right to contraception. And, of course, all the Republicans voted against it. Two didn't. Which were the Republicans that voted for it? Oh, it was Lisa Murkowski. Yes. It was Lisa Murkowski
and Susan Collins. Yeah.
On the tip of my tongue.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they voted for it. All the other Republicans voted against the right to contraception bill, and yet they still maintain contraception is fine. We're not, yes, we overturned Dobbs, and now abortion is illegal in many, many states, but we're never going to go after contraception. Yes, they are going to, they are contraception.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
I know. I find this fascinating. Like, it kind of gave me like a throwback to 2016 when Trump was elected, and I remember just sobbing as I was brushing my teeth to go on to work on labor and delivery, and just like, how am I going to look my patients in the eye and tell them everything's going to be okay? And I remember people being like, "Oh, you're being dramatic. It's not going to be that. He's not going to overturn Roe. Like, you're fine." And it's just like, here we go all over again. Like you literally, we have seen this happen, like the worst happen already. Like, nothing is surprising or shocking. And I just, in one of the articles you sent, like Katie Britt said that, like, she's such a creep. She like just saying like,
Katie is, in case you don't know, Katie Britt is the one who gave the rebuttal to the State of the Union address where she looked like a Stepford wife. It was one of the weirdest. It was so odd and so awkward. It was amazing.
Joe Biden. She could not just say his name like a normal human. Jane, you went through something similar when you were working at watching the Dobbs. I remember you tell the story about watching the Dobbs case coming down and people just having kind of a, So what?
I mean, yeah. So a woman has to, travel. Big deal. What's the big inconvenience? Well, travel can be very expensive. And if you're in some of these states where you have to travel three or four states away, mm-hmm. not everybody has the price of a plane ticket in their bank account. Yeah. Not everybody can pay for being gone for 3 to 5 days and get someone to watch their children and all of those other things. And then it's not like you can just cross state lines, Dr. Laura, and get treatment either, right? There are other protocols that still have to be followed in other states that continue to provide abortion services.
Right. And not only that, like, let's not forget the risk to the patient. We've talked about this before, and I've had patients that when we were not doing abortions in Wisconsin who, went out of state to get an abortion and then got a blood clot because they were sitting for so long in the car while they were doing their travel. So don't tell me that it's fine to travel, because for a pregnant woman to sit for that long is not safe. In fact, it is quite harmful. So for these Republicans to say, "Oh, it's fine, it's not a big deal," it's a huge deal, and people are dying. And that's just one example. Of course, we know about like miscarriages and sepsis and everything that happened in Texas and because of the confusion that was created after this. If you are so strongly opposed to abortions, the way to not have patients have abortions is contraception. So like, so then by
and
saying,
education.
Yeah. But to them, they just say like, we'll stop abortions, never having an abortion at all. So you have the baby no matter what.
And there is like data out the wazoo about like how abstinence only teaching does not work.
Yep.
We have that. We know that it's not a thing. We are at our core, we are animals. we're gonna we're going to have intercourse. It's just going to happen. And so I think that it's just wildly naive to say, oh, we'll just teach abstinence only, and then people won't get pregnant until they're ready, or natural family planning or anything like that. Like, it's just, and then, like, let's not, you know, we haven't even gotten into that contraception or birth control pills or IUDs are used for things other than contraception. Mm-hmm. They're used,
yes,
controlling periods. They're used for PCOS. They're used for people who have really painful periods because of endometriosis. Like, these are all, like, there's so many other things that they're used for that are going to be, when you take that access away, are going to be harmful to my patients. So get out of my clinic.
Get out of my uterus.
Yeah.
And I have nothing else to add. That's it.
And to your point, Dr. Hanks, I mean, it's my understanding that, like, countries like Sweden and Norway and Finland have very, very low rates of abortions, but they also have comprehensive sex education from a pretty young age, and they have very, very easy access to contraceptives.
Yeah, and I mean, it is interesting that countries, you know, that have less religious influence in their politics, you know, but that's a different story. But yes, you're absolutely right. When you have and we know that, right? We know when we have more education from an earlier age, and that we're open and talking to young adults about their options, that they're going to make different choices, to just know that there are options out there to protect them from getting pregnant and protect them from STDs and STIs. And there was, I don't know if you guys remember, about 10 years ago, they did that trial and out in Colorado about offering everyone an IUD. And they were like, let's see if teen pregnancy goes down. What do you think happened?
Wait, don't tell me, Dr. Hanks. Give me a moment. Let me mull it over.
The Rockies won the World Series. Oh, yeah.
And guess what they decided to do with that information?
Nothing.
To pull the plug on them. So they don't do it anymore. Yeah.
Seriously. So it actually lowered the incidence of teen pregnancy, and so they yanked it. Mm-hmm.
Too expensive or something like that. I can't remember.
Well,
we
also can't forget.
It was like everyone was like looking to Colorado, like, this is amazing. Like, look at that. Like, they have the data, the numbers. And it was like this very well done study. And they're like, yeah, nah.
I wonder, once again, I hate running into the world of conspiracy theories, but in Colorado, you have one of the most conservative think tanks in the United States right in Colorado Springs. And when they were going up for renewal, there may have been a lobbyist on at the Capitol saying,
oh, I'm sure,
yeah, no, you're not doing this again. Not in our state.
We can backtrack ourselves and discuss the next one, because it was, I want to say it was about 10 years ago. I remember it was a really big deal in our world, but it was super frustrating to see from a distance. I've never practiced in Colorado personally, but it was hard to watch.
If you're just joining us, Dr. Laura Hanks is here. She joins us every Wednesday from 11:30 to noon for public cervix announcement. If you ever have a question for the doctor, you can always email it in to Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. It doesn't have to be OBGYN related. We're going to talk about vitamin D deficiencies in just a little bit. But right now, again, we're talking about this failure in the Senate to pass a measure to protect access to contraceptives. And I think it's important too, Dr. Hanks, that we reiterate that birth control has many different functions other than preventing pregnancy, regulating periods, helping women who have very painful periods, as opposed to Viagra, which only does one thing. Is that correct?
It's a vasodilator. So I don't prescribe Viagra personally. I have heard of people being prescribed it, just to play devil's advocate, for if they have diseases where they have constriction in their fingers, so they get really like cold hands that can turn blue, and so it can help vasodilate those, so open up the blood vessels to get more blood to them. So I have heard of that.
Well, there's a cup.
And it keeps the party going. Am I right, folks?
And I also want to remind folks Donald Trump made this happen. Donald Trump and his administration and his policies and his Supreme Court appointees brought us to this point. Please don't let anybody tell you that it is the responsibility of anyone else that Dobbs was overturned. Donald Trump is the reason why Dobbs got overturned. He has said he wants to own it. He said he's very proud of it. And yet a lot of people don't think that he is the one who forced that through. Well, he is. Yes. I think it's important that we clarify that.
Yeah.
We do have two callers on the line, Tom from Jackson and Mark from Prairie du Sac. We will take your calls in just a little bit if you guys can hang on the phone. We are with Dr. Laura Hanks for public cervix announcement. Don't forget the word to text until noon via the Civic Media app. The word is North, N-O-R-T-H. The word is North for our Scani Summer statewide text to win contest. Great prizes, Wisconsin Dell Summer Prize Packages, Milwaukee Brewers Club Level Seats, a pair of tickets, and then these grand prizes. We're going to have two of them, a stay in Fort Atkinson, you get to pick, or in Lake Geneva, or in Door County, and we give you the gas to get there and back. The word is North. Good luck. Todd Alba's word, by the way, in the 1 o'clock hour will be amphetamines.
I thought it was anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Greg, I think it is that.
Yeah.
Anti-establishmentarianism?
Yeah. That's so something like that. Yeah.
Look it up. You can look it up later. That's not coming until 1 o'clock. All right, stay with us. We'll take your calls right after this. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Todd Alba on the road with Jane and Todd, coming to you live from Cross Cup Park in beautiful downtown Richland Center. Greg Bach and Sweet Cal B are in our studio in Waukesha, and we're joined every Wednesday at this time for public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. And Dr. Hanks, before the short break, we were talking about a measure in the Senate that was there to provide access to contraception, because after abortion, that is the next thing that it looks like Republicans are going to go after. And we do have two callers on the line. We have Tom from Jackson, I believe. Thank you for joining us, Tom. Thank you for your patience. What did you want to say?
Well, I have a different view on it, in that from what I understand, about 10% of couples can have children for whatever medical reason. And I think that's, because of that, I think that society should be willing to pay these women who get pregnant, and whether they're married or not, if they don't want the baby for some reason, that society would pay them all their medical costs. There'd be no cost for them to bear the child. If anything, they would get some money for having a healthy child, and then that child would be given up for adoption, because to adopt a child is really expensive. I have some friends who adopted six children, and it was up to like $50,000 a piece. And I think that those children, you know, could have good lives, more so than they are now, stuck in, you know, these places when they're like 10 years old and stuff like that, or 15. But if they're adopted, you know, right away, they'd have better lives. And I think society should pay for that, you know, including with, you know, all medical care. I think it should be free medical care in this country, like it is in the other first world countries. I guess that's
you got a great point. Yep, you have a great point, Tom. I mean, and I would love to see that happen. I would also love to see Medicare expanded so that women can get postnatal care for a year as opposed to whatever it is, six weeks right now.
60 days.
60 days. You know, there are all kinds of things that we could do to help support pregnant people and help support women who want to be mothers, and we're not doing it now. And I just don't know that that's going to change.
Here's my issue with that is that if someone wants to go through 40 weeks of pregnancy and give up their body to that, then that is a hugely generous offer. But I think that for someone to just say, well, you can just go on, continue the pregnancy and give the baby up for adoption, that is a choice that needs to be made by that person, because pregnancy is unsafe at baseline. There are lots of risks to being pregnant and there are lots of risks to giving birth. So I don't think that that's the answer to every unwanted pregnancy. I agree with you. There are a lot of couples that struggle with infertility. I have a lot of patients that very much want to have a baby and be pregnant. And my heart goes out to them. And I think there are ways that we could help them better. That's obviously, you know, the IVF conversation is also something that's being discussed a lot, especially because of Alabama. But I think you have to be very careful with that conversation of asking patients to continue a pregnancy that they don't, that maybe was unplanned and undesired, because that is a huge ask of those patients.
You're absolutely right, Dr. Hanks. And I think, too, there is still, at least among some of us, there is still this assumption that every pregnancy is the same and most pregnancies go just fine. And after birth, you know, you snap back. But that isn't the case. Every pregnancy is vastly different from your neighbor's pregnancy. And the outcome or the condition that you're in after you deliver also varies widely from patient to patient.
Absolutely.
So we have time to get in one more phone call. Mark from Prairie du Sac has been waiting. Thank you for your patience, Mark. What did you want to say?
Thanks. I think what needs to happen is a redistribution of the 2012 video by Andrea Savage. It starred Andrea Savage, Judy Greer, and Kate Beckinsale. It was titled "Republicans Get in My Vagina." I mean, it's a humorous little take on, you know, that Republicans want to dictate women's lives. And I think that, and perhaps what needs to happen, it probably wouldn't do much good, because there's, you know, these Republicans are primarily married to stepford wives in a lot of cases. That a case of, you know, Liz Lestrada, where the women go on a sex strike and don't let their men have sex with them anymore. I mean, that it's, these guys just don't care about women. I mean, that they say they do, but I think they simply don't.
I think you're right. I think you're right, Mark. And unfortunately, I think a lot of women are feeling that way. I saw another person say, Dr. Hanks, that abortion is never medically necessary. That's a lie. That's just an out and out lie.
Yeah, that's not true. And I have treated patients that I have said, you will die if this pregnancy continues. That's rare, but it happens.
And ectopic pregnancies also. There are some legislators whose name escapes me right now. It's like, well, if it's ectopic, just, you know, replant it. It doesn't work that way.
You know, like gardening.
Yeah, if only it were that easy to transplant my tulips, you know, like I do an ectopic pregnancy. It doesn't work that way.
No, unfortunately, you know, we have people, I think, overestimate our medical advances. There are some really cool things we're doing. I mean, you know, IVF is pretty advanced, but placing a pregnancy that was not inside the uterus, outside of IVF is not something that we are able to do.
We got a text.
No, it's physically not possible. Go ahead, Greg.
We got a text from the 970 listening on WAUK. So the Colorado Birth Control Initiative was reinstated a few years ago when the Dems gained control.
Oh, thank you.
That's
so exciting. Thank you.
Fantastic.
For fact-checking me.
Well, that fact-checking, we are just about helping.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Filling in the pieces. Yeah. We're filling in the pieces. Dr. Laura Hanks joins us every Wednesday at this time for public service announcement. If you ever have a question for her, just email it into the show at janesays@civicmedia.us. Thank you so much, Dr. Hanks. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
News is coming up next. You have a couple of minutes left to text the word via the Civic Media app, North, N-O-R-T-H. It's our Scani Summer statewide text to win contest. News coming up, and then the wonderful Todd Alba. We're here in Richland Center at Cross Cup Park. Come out and join us. We're here till 2 o'clock. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.